Luke chapter 4. Let me just get over there quickly. I know you're all there. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 through 30. Jesus has come into the synagogue in Nazareth, and we see here he's delivered the book of the prophet Isaiah. And then he verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because what? He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. So a few lessons ago, we said that Jesus was anointed. We see this is in one place where he pronounced, I am anointed to do what? I'm anointed of God to preach the gospel. And we saw over in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing. So this anointing was not only to do good, but we know the anointing was to heal those that were what? Oppressed of the devil. So we can see that sickness is from the devil. It's an oppression of the devil. It is not the will of God. And we can see here that he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and what? Recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So he was proclaiming here the healing power of God. He was proclaiming it. He said, I'm anointed of God to do what? To heal. So he was proclaiming the healing power of God. So it was present to heal. And you can see here, just in this whole account, from verse 16 to verse 30, if you look down, the healing power of God here was present to benefit them, to heal them. He said, I'm anointed to preach, to heal, to deliver. But look at verse 28. It says, and they were all in the synagogue when they heard these things, were filled with what? Wrath. They weren't too happy about it. They said, who are you? And then what did they do in verse 29? They're going to take them and, as they say, throw them off the brow. If you've ever been to Israel, I have. If you've ever been over in that area, the brow was off a cliff. And I mean, you look down onto the plains of Megiddo and you look out and it's like, it's probably, what has it got to be? At least 400 or 500 feet off of that brow. It's more than that. I mean, it is a huge, it's like a cliff. You look down, you go, okay. They're going to, you know, you kind of read this and go, oh, they're going to throw them off the brow. No, they were going to kill them. They're going to throw them off a cliff, right? So they weren't there to receive anything. So even though the power of God was present to heal, it didn't benefit them, right? And he preached the word. He preached. He said, I'm anointed of God to preach the gospel, right? To the poor. So it didn't benefit them. And then here you can see they didn't believe that the healing power of God was present. They didn't believe it. They go and kill them, right? They were gritting their teeth. Who is this guy? What'd they say over there? They said, this is Jesus. Didn't they say that? No, they didn't say that there. Anyways, they didn't receive him. But you can see here that, think about just in this case here, they didn't believe, but think about when we were talking about Sunday, the woman with the issue of blood. She did believe that the power of God was present to heal. She heard of Jesus, and she pressed her way through to get something from him. She believed that the power of God was there, present to heal. And it did what? It benefited her. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she was. The man with palsy let down through the roof. When you think about that story, who was he teaching to? He was teaching to Pharisees and the doctors of the law, or you could say the scribes. There was a whole bunch of unbelievers there. And so it said in that, in Luke 5, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Isn't it an interesting thing that the power of the Lord was present to heal and they weren't believing for it? Isn't it interesting? So sometimes we have this idea that only in certain kinds of services, when it's running high, that the power of the Lord is present to heal. Isn't it the truth? But here, we have a bunch of unbelievers who were not in one accord, there to do what? Challenge him and criticize him, but the power of the Lord was present to heal them. See, you're giving some truth out of the Word of God that wherever the Word is preached, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Because the power to heal is in the Word. So wherever the Word is taught or preached, the power of the Lord is present to heal. So Jesus, the Word, was teaching to Pharisees and doctors of the law, so the power of the Lord was present to heal. It had nothing to do with them. They didn't cause the power of the Lord to be present to heal. He did by preaching the Word. So their unbelief didn't hinder that or cause it to come and be present, or them being on one accord. Not that doesn't hurt or help, but where the Word of God is preached, the power of the Lord is present to heal. So in order for the power to be obtained, it must first be present to those who need it. So in other words, if you're going to receive something, it must be present, right? So there are two ways in which the healing power of God is made present to us today. In Jesus' ministry, he ministered through two methods, through teaching and preaching the Word, that's number one, and through two, the allowing the Holy Spirit to use him as the Spirit wills. And these are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, not as we will. So he allowed the Spirit of God to use him. Everybody see that? So the first and primary way is the power to of the first and primary way for the power to heal is made present is through the Word of God. So let's go over to Matthew 14. I believe we're going to see something here because the more I meditated on this, I saw something. As many times as I've read this, you just keep feeding upon it, you see something that'll help us all. Matthew 14. And let's look at verse 22. This is the story of Jesus and the disciples going to the other side. Here he's in to Gennesaret. And verse 22, and says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, this is interesting here, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He specified, on the water. And he said, Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship on the water, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So here we see that when Jesus said, come, the power was made available in that word come to walk on the water. The power was made available when he said, come. No different than when he said, arise and be healed. The power was made available, but somebody had to do something. So Peter had to get down out of the boat or the ship to walk on the water. Up to that point, the power was not made available to Peter to walk on the water. It was only after Jesus said, come. The power was made available. And then Peter had to do something. And when he got down out of the ship, the power of God was released for him to walk on the water. Everybody see that? That blessed me. That just blessed me. I'll tell you, it blessed me. Because the power of God is in the Word. And when Jesus said, come, he made the power available. The power was made present, just like when he said, the power of God is present to heal. If Peter had stayed in the boat, nothing would have happened. But he got down out of the boat, and it caused him, made him able to walk on the water. The power was there to make him able to walk on the water. Everybody see that? Hallelujah. So the power to walk on the water was delivered to Peter through the word come. That power was delivered to him. And the moment he acted on that word, he unlocked that power. The moment he acted upon the word, the power was released or unlocked to him for him to walk on the water. So within every promise or command is the power to change the situation we encounter in life. So every promise or command within it is the power to change a situation in our life if it's been promised from God. But our obedience releases the power within the Word of God. So every promise makes that power available, but our obedience releases it or unlocks it. I believe, doesn't that say, when I'm thinking about this here, this statement, let me just look this up here. You can look it up with me. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So these great and precious promises have provided for us or made available the power of God. And he says here, that for given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But it's our obedience that releases it, releases the power of God. Everybody see that? Another story, think about this, in Joshua 6, the Lord commands Joshua, they go in, and what happened? In Jericho, they've got mighty walls up, right? And the Lord commanded Joshua and the children of Israel to march around that city. He commanded Joshua. So when he commanded and gave him that command, the power of God was made available through the command to Joshua. The power of God was made available to take the walls down. But then Joshua then did what? He brought that command to the children of Israel and said, okay, we're to march around the city. once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, we're to march around 7 days and then shout. It was in their obedience that the power of God was released to bring those walls down. But the power of God was made available through the Lord's command to them. It was made available. Everybody see that? Turn over to Romans chapter 10. We're looking at a principle here that the power of God is in the Word of God. It's made available to us, but it's our obedience to it that releases the power of God. Romans chapter 10, a very familiar scripture, verse 10 and Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The moment that this scripture is presented to a sinner, someone who doesn't know God, someone who has not made or believed in their heart and professed with their mouth, the moment this scripture is shared, the power of God to be saved is made available. Because the power of God to be saved is in the Word of God. But it's in the acting upon it. It's in the moment this scripture is presented, and a person that doesn't know God, a sinner, an unbeliever, obeys that, the power of God goes into operation and they are saved. But they have to do something. They have to obey what they've heard. But the power to be saved is present because the Word of God was shared. Everybody see that? So their obedience releases the power within this scripture. Let's back up to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And let's look at verse 17 and 18. Here's the principle right here. It's very clear right here. Reading from the King James. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but what does it say? But ye have obeyed, how? From the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. So you obeyed the Word of God that was shared with you, being then, what does that mean? After you did that, being then what? Made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. So the scripture was delivered or shared to you or preached or taught, and it says, you obeyed from the heart. And it says, which delivered unto you, being then made free. So the power to save, the power to prosper, the power to heal is in the Word. When we obey it, when we act upon it, it releases the power in that situation. I'll tell you, this will set us free. The more we meditate upon this, it helped me to go back. You go and you examine, you look at and say, okay, have I acted upon the Word when it's been taught? Have I done some things? You know, when you think about this, even in the area of prosperity, when it says in 2 Corinthians, it says, he that purposes in their heart to give, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God desires a cheerful giver. And then it also, what does it say? He provides bread for food because you've planted seed. He increases your seed, or he gives you seed to sow. Then he does what? Multiplies your seed, and then he increases the fruits of your righteousness. All that power to do that is in the fact that you came and planted seed. Who? But you've got to say, I thank you, Lord. I'm planting my seed. You're providing bread for me to eat. You're giving me seed to sow. You're increasing and multiplying my seed. You're increasing the fruits of my righteousness. And I believe that. And I believe that you are adding to me and multiplying my seed sown. When we do that, it releases the power of God to do that. This isn't just about taking your offering and putting it in the offering bucket, or even just doing what is right to do, bring your tithe into the storehouse. But you've got to do what? Believe that the power of God to do what he said is in the Word of God. And then when we obey it and believe that he will do it, it releases the power of God to do that. Whether it's in prosperity, whether it's in the healing power of God. I'm not going to worry or think about, gee, I wonder if God's going to heal my body. No. He said, whose own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He said, what does it say? Yeah, that I should live under righteousness. By his stripes I have been healed. So if I have been healed, then I am healed. And the power of God is in the Word of God to cause that to be in my life. That's why it's so important to just keep feeding upon the Word of God. So our obedience, again, releases the power of God that's in the Word of God. Let's quickly go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Remember what the Word says. It says in the Word of God throughout the Gospels, it refers to the Word as what? Seed. And the seed has to be sown. The seed produces fruit when it's what? Planted. Just a natural seed. You know, we've all heard this. You take a natural seed, the power to reproduce itself is in the seed. The power is in the natural seed to reproduce itself, but it has to be planted. That means if it's not planted, it just sits dormant. But it has to be planted and watered and all the right conditions for it to do what? To reproduce itself. And it's no different. We have to hear the Word of God, then we have to act upon it. That's what James says. We're not to just be hearers only, but doers, deceiving ourselves. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me read some other translations. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, for God's message is full of life and power. The Williams translation, it says, for God's message is alive and full of power in action. The 20th century New Testament, it says, God's message is a living and active power. Boy, I like that. God's message is a living and active power. And the NOLI, N-O-L-I translation says, for the message of God is a living and active force. So the Word of God is alive and full of power. So the Word of God is full of power, but the power is only released through our obedience. So if we listen to the Word of God and we obey it, the truth will set us free. Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke chapter 5 again. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Again, and just make this point again. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, so he was there teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law, or scribes, sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So it certainly wasn't their belief, because they were there to criticize him and challenge him. It wasn't their belief that caused the power of the Lord to be present. It was because he was teaching. He was and is the Word of God. So that because he was teaching and preaching, that the power of God was present to heal. So the power of God always accompanies the preaching or teaching of the Word of God in whatever particular type of service it is. I mean, you could be in a service full of unbelief, and the power of God is present to heal, not based on how we feel about the setting, but because if the Word of God is taught and preached, then the power of God is present to heal. You know, I see so often, there's a gentleman that I just follow. I like to follow him on Facebook. He's a Rhema graduate. He's probably up in his upper 60s now, 67, 68. He's older, you know. But in any event, he was a former Muslim, and he's got a great book. I don't have it with me, but it talks about how he was a Muslim and raised in a Muslim home in Pakistan and between Pakistan and India and all of that. And he, you know, when he got saved, his father set out to kill him. I mean, literally, and he had to hide. And so it's a long story, but the point is, in all of this, is that he goes in, he runs at least 10 or 12 crusades a year. And I follow him because it's like T.L. Osborne when you watch him. I mean, thousands of people come. It could be 50, 60,000 people. They're in a field, and he always posts little video clips on Facebook of what they're doing. They're out and you see just dust. You see dust because they're all just jumping. They're jumping. And you see dust clouds come up from the jumping, right? And they're just praising the Lord. They'll do that for hours. He just preaches the gospel. He preaches the cross. And it certainly isn't because they're coming in belief. He said most of these areas that he goes in are dangerous and Muslim areas. Sometimes they don't go in. He said, we're not impressed to go. Or maybe they have a problem pulling something off. But these areas, it certainly isn't their belief that's causing the power of the Lord to be present. It's the preaching of the gospel. And some believe and receive, and some, which we're going to touch on here shortly, there's two ways that the power of God is made present to heal: the preaching of the gospel and the gifts of the Spirit. And so when he goes and preaches the gospel, he said, you'll see people who are blind. I mean, just some of the stuff is just, you wouldn't even believe some of the testimonies. Some where he said one person just, you know, they're crawling on all their four, they're crawling in the dirt because they can't walk. And they come up and they're healed. What was that? The power of God is present to heal. And so it's the preaching of the gospel, and in some cases, the Holy Ghost moves as he wills for purposes that we, you know, that's his as he wills. So the power to heal always follows the gospel of healing. The power to save follows the gospel of salvation. So the power of God follows the word of God. The power of God is made present. So it takes faith on the part of the recipient to benefit from the power that is made present. It's not their faith that causes the power of God to be made present to benefit them. It's their faith that they have to release to benefit from the power of God that is present to heal. You understand? So it's not their faith that has to be released to cause it to be present, but they do have to release their faith to benefit. Because that's what we read in Luke chapter 4. The power of God was present. They took Jesus to task. They wanted to kill him. Right? So the power was present to heal, and they never benefited from it. So there is some part on our part. What does it say in Ephesians 2:8? For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. So it's going to be faith on our part that causes us to benefit from salvation. Hallelujah. So the second way, let's just touch on this for a few minutes. The second way the healing power of God is made available or can be made available, even where the word of God has never been taught, is through the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now that doesn't mean that the manifestations of the Spirit don't follow the preaching of the word. They do, and we believe that. But the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in a setting where the word of God has never been taught. It's as he wills. Let's take a look at, let's take a look at these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7 through 11. First Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, or you could say various kinds, different kinds, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as what? As he wills. As he will. Now, let's take a look at John. Let's go over to the Gospel of John. Let's take a look at this in chapter 5. And this talks about the man at the pool of Bethesda. But let's take a look at this, starting in verse 1. And here we have a case where Jesus didn't preach the gospel. This was a manifestation of the Spirit as he willed. And the man got healed. See. So this is another method or another way. So we know, we said the first way was the power of God is made present through the preaching of the gospel. But it's our obedience that releases that power. Starting in verse 1, it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Well, you can see here, there's no faith here. There's no faith here. I don't know how I'm going to get healed. Somebody else gets in before me. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. You would think they would have rejoiced. This is almost pitiful, isn't it? You got healed on the wrong day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Okay. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, he blaming Jesus now. He told me to take up thy bed. Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? Now, this is why when we talk about Jesus is the Word of God, and that when he taught, the power of God was present to heal. When we look at the woman with the issue of blood, it said that she heard of Jesus and she went in faith saying, He's got what I want. So she believed that, as we were teaching Sunday, that he is. He that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is the healer and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, look at verse 13 here. It said, And he that was healed wist not who it was. He didn't even know who Jesus was. There was no faith involved. He didn't even know who he was. He didn't know who Jesus was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. So here we see that Jesus, this was here, the Holy Ghost was operating through Jesus to seek him out, not the other way where the woman with the issue of blood, the man let down through the roof, the centurion, they had heard of Jesus. They came to him. They were seeking Jesus to get something from him, because they had heard of what he would do. He would give liberally and heal. This man here, he didn't even know anything about Jesus. So it had to be the gifts of the Spirit in operation here. And Jesus cooperating with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus sought this man out. It wasn't the other way around. You see. Everybody see this? So he was led by the Holy Ghost to find this man. So we can see here that this is one instance. And I'm going to close up here and just kind of pick up next Wednesday, because I know we have a guest Sunday. But just feed upon this a little bit. That there were two ways that the healing power of God is made present to us. How's that first? First is through the preaching and teaching of the word. The power of God, when it's taught, is made available. Just like when we said, when Jesus said to Peter, come. The power of God, the ability and the power of God was made available in the word, come, to walk on the water. You know, so often we would hear Brother Hagin, I mean, I did for years, even when he would come here or I'd go to conventions or meetings. He would always explain. He'd say, the Lord told me, if I don't tell it, it won't work. he would go through the story of how Jesus placed the fingers, his finger, into his right finger, into the palms of both hands. And he'd say, if you don't tail it, it won't work. But he'd also say, when I lay hands upon you, the power of God is going to go into you. He said, that's my part. But then after that, you're going to have to do something with it. You're going to have to believe that you've received it and it's working in you. So there has to be some faith on the part of the one receiving. And so it's the same thing. When the power of God is in the Word of God, when it's preached, we have to believe it and then accept it and receive it in our hearts. We've got to believe that and say, that's mine. That's mine. I'm going to have somebody share a little testimony Sunday. I know if time permits, just a few minutes. But to me, when I heard this Sunday after service, it literally blessed me. I said, oh, that's the reason something didn't happen to this person. I'm serious. When I heard this, I said, oh, that's been their confession. That's been their word. That's been their belief, their confession. So when the Lord speaks and says that he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, you know, sometimes we start out with zeal and then we lighten up and we don't continue with our confession of faith. We don't continue speaking over our bodies the word of God. We through our obedience, the power of God is released in our lives, in every situation. I hope that helps somebody. Because whether it's for healing, whether it's for, I'm just looking something up here because I read something this morning on health food that blessed me. Yeah. Well, you can look it up. I won't read that now. Praise the Lord. It was good anyhow. Praise God. But I just share this. Feed on the Word of God. Keep feeding on it. Embrace it and accept it and say the power of God is working in my body. Brother Hagin would say that. Even Mrs. Hagin, when she fell on her what do they call this, coccyx? She shared this a couple years ago in her Bible seminar after, you know, she had gone through this. She fell, she said the pain was so bad, it was so excruciating. She said childbirth wouldn't even compare to it. She said it was that excruciating. Went to the doctor. The doctor said, here, take this. You know, there's really not much we can do, but we can help the pain. Take this. She said it was the most they could give her. It wouldn't do nothing. It did nothing. It didn't subside. She just said, you know, her husband said to her, Pastor Hagin said, say this. Say that the healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. She said she would say that if she said it 100 times, she said it 1,000 times a day. She would just say it over and over and over and over and over. She believed that the healing power of God was working in her body to affect a healing and a cure. And she said after 3 months of doing this, consistently, over and over, over and over, she said after 3 months, the pain began to subside. And then it left. So we see this, that just believing that God will heal me ain't enough. Just believing that God's word says something is not enough. We're going to have to believe it and act upon it. What does that mean, obey? It means I've got to put the word of God in my mouth and say it over and over and over and over again and over again. I don't know if I'm helping somebody, but feed upon it. Whatever you're walking through,